Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians podcast. We are a more casual group that are kind of plowing through the game, I'd say, at a pace Bungie more designed. Right. A couple house cleaning items to bring up real quick. Big changes since episode one, as in everything. Name change, Twitch change, Twitter change, Facebook change. Exactly. So the name that we chose, and we talked about the sentimental value behind it in the first episode, when we went to make an actual clan for our community, someone had already taken the name. And so we had to start anew. But we all got to be a part of the whole planning process, and it makes it that much more special now. So that's what's going on there, why everything is completely different. I promise we're the same people. Minus Nick, of course, for week two, once again, something different. He is out with Jake. They're finding a place to live, so that's kind of important, I guess.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, so yeah. These other couple voices I've got here with me, we have a couple clanmates / real life friends / beautiful human beings. We have Russell.
Know. Real life friends is stretching it a little bit.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Speaking of stretching it, we have Russell. Say hi.
Hi.
And Zeluthian.
Hello.
It's just Luthian. It's not Zeluthian. No, it's just okay. It's just Luthian. I just want to be fancy because it sounded fancy.
It did. It's very French.
Well, you know, he comes from France, so.
He does.
Naturally.
That explains so much.
Yeah, he was an orphan and basic prince of Egypt kind of thing. He got put in a basket and sent across the ocean. His family across found him ocean, really? Across the ocean, yeah.
Jeez.
Prince All of Egypt times 100.
In a basket.
They really did not want you.
That was a nope, very well crafted basket. Real quick, we'll just plug the clan so we can try and get more people in there with us, since that's kind of partly why this podcast exists as well, so we can meet more people and make new friends. But just like the podcast name, Just Some Guardians, you can find us at bungie.net. I think it's clan / Just Some Guardians. Shoot us a message to say what's up. I'm Elmer Fudd in game. We're on PS4. You can shoot me a message as well. So let's jump into some introductions here with our peeps. Let's start with you, Russell.
Oh boy.
Why don't you give us a little backstory on you, your journey into Destiny, the first game, Destiny in general.
You know, that would make an epic title for a book. Journey into Destiny. Destiny.
That would be bad.
Yeah. Oh. The first time I actually picked up Destiny was right around when it first came out. I had just moved to where I currently live, and I decided that I wanted a PlayStation 4 because I was tired of playing on the PS3 and there were lots of cool games coming out. Particularly the one I was looking forward to was Shadow of Mordor.
Play that at all.
Yeah, no, never, ever, ever. No, it's seriously one of my favorite games. Shadow of War is awesome, just for anybody else who's listening. Anyway, so I decided that I wanted a PS4, so I went out and bought one, and I saw, so they were selling, like, the Destiny bundle, you know, with the white PlayStation.
Oh, the white one, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I can pay the same price and get a game to hold me over until I get Shadow of Mordor. And so I got Destiny, and so I started playing it, and I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, the story to Destiny vanilla was okay. I mean, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was kind of what
story
Bungie did.
Question mark? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, like with Halo, I mean, you know, it was pretty much the same. Say the Halo kind of had a storyline. I mean, there was a robot guy on a ship that crash landed on this Halo, and then you found everything else out in the second one. So I wasn't too Like, I wasn't too upset about this.
It was mainly more like inspirational music in between Master Chief killing sprees.
Pretty much.
Basically all Halo was.
So I started playing it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, I mostly liked it because it was something I could jump into without having to put too much invested into it. You know what I mean? Like, I could jump on for 20 minutes or for 6 hours and get the same kind of enjoyment out of it, which was nice.
Oh, definitely. The marketing ploy with the PS4 Destiny bundle worked perfectly then.
It did. That's fantastic. Worked so well. And so that's kind of how I started playing, and then I really started to get into it when, you know, you and I, Brett, because, you know, we know each other from high school. Mm-hmm. You started playing with me, and then I started playing a lot more, because it used to be I'd just get on, I'd go into the Crucible and kind of mess around a little bit, and I was terrible at it and got killed a lot. I was like, oh, okay, this is fun. But, you know, and then I was really excited for Destiny 2 to come out, because, like, I really enjoy the social experience of Destiny, right?
Yeah.
Being able to get on there with people you know and people that you enjoy playing with, and get to know new people too. I mean, I've met most of my new people through you, because I'm a hermit and I don't like people, just kind of in general as a policy.
It's a beautiful policy.
And so then, you know, when the second one came out, I was like, oh, this will be great, because, you know, I can play this with my best friend from high school that I don't really get to talk to much unless we're playing games together.
Right. Well, the cool thing was there was, like, we hadn't really talked for a little while, and just kind of like randomly one day it was like, oh, you have a PS4? Oh my God, I have a PS4. You have Destiny? Right. Oh my God, I have Destiny. Why aren't we playing together?
Right. Well, and now it's become kind of this thing where, you know, we play once or twice a week, and it's even branched out to other games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's great, because I get to keep in touch with people that I enjoy talking to, and, you know, people that I don't get to talk to on a regular basis, because I'm a terrible texter and a terrible phone caller person.
Let's just stick with terrible. Leave it there.
I like phone caller person, preferably me.
Yeah.
That's how I got into Destiny, and I've really enjoyed it. I mean, like, a lot of it's been the social experience, but then when Destiny 2 came out, the storyline was very epic. And very, you know, it made you feel very cool as this kind of last guardian who has the light. And, you know, you get to go through, and you have this villain that is also very interesting. Because I really enjoy villains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in Destiny, you didn't get that. Like, you didn't have this villain that followed you through the whole story arc. You just had this thing that showed up at the end, and it's like, oh, by the way, they're trying to raise this Heart of Darkness, and you've got to stop it. And you're like, well, cool. I don't feel too terribly invested in stopping it, but that sounds interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'd say Oryx is probably the closest to that, was the only one that we actually had, like, you know, kind of in the story a little bit and then carried on, where everyone else was just kind of like, thank you for playing for, you know, 300 plus hours. By the way, scary guy, go kill him. Next expansion.
Right. So, you know, getting to fight Dominus Ghoul, and, you know, that it felt relevant, which I enjoyed.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So that's just kind of my experience with Destiny. I'm a casual player who really enjoys getting together and playing with my friends and hopefully improving my ineptitude at first-person shooters, because they are not my game of choice normally.
That's beautiful, my man. Well, I'm glad to have discovered this, and because we really kind of had a blank space in our lives without each other. This has been wonderful.
I know, which is really sad.
And then you've been able to make new friends through this too.
Yes.
And learn stuff about the beautiful segue. Hi, Luthien. Oh, you were meant for this, Russ. Wow.
I know. I have a face for radio. What can I say?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So, Luthien, my man.
Mm-hmm.
I know the story, but for everyone else, what is your how did you discover slash finally get into Destiny and then into Destiny 2 and then your overall thoughts of the game?
So Destiny was one of those games that I never really had any interest in. I'm not a big first-person shooter guy to begin with, and when Destiny 1 first came out, it just had such a mixed reception, to put it kindly, that it just, it looking in from the outside, it was just a very soulless first-person shooter trying to be an MMO type thing. And so, you know, I had no interest in it whatsoever. And then Brett here at one point found out that I had never played Destiny and thought that was a horrible tragedy and lent me the game. And this was not long ago at all.
I didn't just lend it. I like forced you to like shove
it
in your hand.
Yeah, you kind of forced me to take it.
It's like, you will play this and you will like it.
Yeah. He likes to force things down people's throat. Like you, anyway.
Yeah, and the, so that was a few months ago that I finally picked up Destiny 1 and played a bit. I played through the campaign. It was all right because it was just vanilla Destiny. Played through the campaign and was somewhat underwhelmed, but then went to YouTube and looked up all the lore videos. And I got so interested in the lore that was there because it really is a very well written, well thought out lore. It's just not really evident in the game because, you know, it's not. They went with the whole Grimoire thing. And
well,
so.
Especially in Destiny 1. I feel like Destiny 2.
Yeah, Destiny 1 especially.
But, yeah.
And so then I got really into the lore, and then Destiny 2 came out. And I was like, all right, I'm going to get this game and play with you guys. Because I do really enjoy the social aspect of it. And, you know, neither game is without fault, but I think that they're both really well done, and they both have a lot of potential in terms of what they can sort of become and where they can go, which I think is just really cool. So, yeah, I'm, you know, brand new baby to Destiny. Destiny 2 has really been my first true Destiny experience.
I'd like to think of you more like, have you seen Boss Baby yet, the movie?
I've seen clips of it. I haven't actually watched the movie.
Because, like, and you say you're a baby to Destiny, but you have literally, like, watched everything you could possibly watch and know you know more about this than a lot of people that have been playing it forever. So, I'd use baby and Destiny very loosely. But, no, and that's what I loved was that, like, because I gave it to you and I was like, you have to try this. And you went home and you were like, oh, I don't have any of the expansions because it's your disc. And I was like, oh, poop. Mm-hmm. And then I remember we were driving and you just laid into it about, like, the lore and you started geeking out about it. And I was like, yep, all right, he's hooked. This is great. Different things hook different people. Yeah, you know, different things hook different people. And it was just so cool that, like, just the in-depth lore is what got you.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So basically, the moral of the story is that Brett has gotten us addicted to video games.
Yes, I blame Brett entirely. I have never touched an MMO before Destiny, and I blame Brett entirely for instigating this.
Beautiful, as you should.
As everybody should.
Which
also,
is funny.
Apologies if I make any unexpected strange noises. I am currently playing Destiny, and dying a lot, so.
Wait, you're playing the game we want to talk about?
I am.
What's wrong with
you?
Well,
it's the best way to get into the Destiny mode.
I thought there was nothing to do. How on earth are you still playing? Oh, people. Love it. Well, let's dive. Russ jumped in a little bit with his thoughts on the campaign there. How'd you like coming from, especially since you really only played Vanilla Destiny campaign, to Vanilla Destiny 2 campaign? Let's jump over there.
Yeah. So, again, definitely, obviously, a lot more meat to the Destiny 2 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Still lackluster, in my opinion, just as far as, you know, story-driven games, because I come from a background of, you know, mostly single-player, very story-driven games. And so, like, especially knowing all of the Destiny lore that I know, I'm left wanting more.
Like, of I it actually see in all game. Of these things. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I enjoyed it for what it was. I do wish that there had been more to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the sound of a filthy casual.
Exactly.
That's basically a trials night with us all. Just that.
Oh, done.
Nonstop.
Trials nights, man.
We'll get to that. That's on the list.
The campaign, again, no, it was good for what it was. I feel like I wish that there was more to it, and really I think that's where the expansions are going to come in, and where we're going to get more of those story missions, and that once all the expansions have come out, I think playing through them all sort of sequentially throughout the whole campaign will feel like a much more complete experience.
Oh, definitely. Which is why part of me is kind of tempted, because it sounds like how some of the expansion, Crystal Cyrus, we'll talk about that later, information's come out, is that it's almost like taking place right after, like, our campaign ends, almost.
Yes.
And so part of me wants to wait to level up my Warlock and then just do it, like, all in order, like, one after another, almost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Very tempting.
Get that complete experience.
That sounds like a well-thought-out plan, so I probably can't do that.
Right.
That's not something I'm about.
For you.
But anyway, so we all kind of came together in Destiny 2, and then we were all kind of spread throughout different clans, and then we were all just playing together every night. And then this started, and so we all just joined the clan together, and there's just six of us. We have a raid team, technically, of people, but we're all just together in our little niche, and we love it. And like Russ was mentioning earlier, we've had like basically clan nights where we all go play Overwatch, and these two yahoos have gone and played Dark Souls, and already hashtag gaming master race. But but no, like we've already, like, this is exactly what I wanted, was this little community almost, you know.
And I think that is the thing that draws me the most to Destiny, is the social aspect of it. It's, you know, going on raids with your clan and going out and doing strikes and just having fun as a group of people.
Oh, definitely.
Is more what I get out of playing Destiny.
And my friends list has just exploded just from like my whole friends. There's a couple people I know in real life, and everyone else is just like random raiding people or strikes or whatever from Destiny.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Russ?
Yeah, see, that's the thing that draws me the most to Destiny. I mean, I really enjoyed the story mode of Destiny 2. I thought it was really well done, especially compared with vanilla Destiny. But the thing that keeps me coming back is definitely the social aspect. Because, I mean, you get to build a community that can carry over into other games and other experiences that are just as fun.
Exactly.
So, you know, my friends list is pretty small because, again, I'm not a very social person and I'm kind of a hermit, but the people that I have been introduced to, like Alex and Nick and stuff like that, I really enjoy getting to play with them and getting to experience their sense of humors and their, you know, as we're going through doing things, just getting to talk. And, you know, sometimes we talk about life and sometimes we talk about, you know, actually what we're doing in Destiny. But, you know, I mean, it's fun. It's that community, that camaraderie that's just...
Oh, exactly. Right? And there's so much content you can do in a group that's not so intense that you can just sit there and mindlessly just make friends, you know, just have conversations about everything and just laugh. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And I think that...
My stupidity, but, you know, whatever.
Well, that's what carries us through most nights, really.
Of course, naturally. It's just mutual just chaos and utter incompetency. Like, exactly. I will never...
That's our new slogan.
Welcome to utter incompetency.
Exactly.
Utter incompetency. This is one of those games I'll never claim to be good at Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And even so, I can still have a very fun time, and I think a lot of that comes down to the gunplay. Gunplay in this game is
Oh,
fantastic.
it's so good.
Definitely one of the some of the best gunplay I've ever experienced in a first-person shooter, and I think that that's one of the things that makes it tolerable for me doing some of the more grindy aspects, because it's no matter what you're doing, it's still fun just to shoot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you feel smooth. You feel cool. You feel like a powerful guardian who knows what they're doing
Exactly.
with their weapons, even though I'm not great at the game. Makes me feel that way. Just the motions of, like, even just reloading, you feel cool sliding that back and,
Yeah, the power fantasy is excellent in this game.
Just, I mean, and just the sound of, like, whoever decided on the sound effect for punching things needs an award. Like, that is the most satisfying thing ever. I'll purposely just run around and punch things just because it sounds so, oh, it's so clean and beautiful.
Yeah, and I think, story direction aside, anything else like that aside, sound design and the gameplay design of this game is stellar.
Oh
And
yeah,
I
and the
can't fault it
music
for
is
that.
just
Yep.
phenomenal.
There's not
Epic.
a lot of games that like before Destiny 2 came out, like I downloaded like the game soundtrack and just like listened to it for days. And that happens so rarely, but it just hit me. I was like, this is breathtaking.
Yeah, there are only a few games that I actually enjoy the soundtrack to. And that would be Dark Souls and Destiny.
Yeah.
They just have a very epic. And Bungie's always been really good at that. Even for
Yeah.
Halo. Halo had
Oh yeah, those
excellent.
are some of my I think what was that? I think it was Halo 2 was one that was kind of the best where it had that, that
That kind of
riff
rocky.
that like always came in like at the perf like you'd come over a hill in a tank and you're like the second you notice the battlefield, the music would hit and you're just like, yes. Yeah, they've always been good with that. But it was fun because again, I don't usually do that, but I was listening to a podcast and then they were talking about the music and like super, geeking out and actually like song tracks and like, oh, I loved it this timestamp when this happened. And I was like following along perfectly and I was like, oh man, this never happens. This is crazy. Oh, so good. Since we recovered the campaign, recovered the music, recovered the social aspect. I think that's a wrap. Good night, guys.
All right.
right.
That was quick. That was fun. Good job, Dave.
Oh, all right. There's other content in this game that we should probably talk about.
Yeah,
There
probably.
is. That's a thing.
So apparently there's this big part of every Destiny game and expansion called a raid. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a thing.
Apparently it takes a few people and
Pretty.
it's a social aspect of like something you guys like. We should probably check it out sometime.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. When we can
Yeah.
actually get six people together and finish it.
Oh, that's right. We've
Yeah.
been in there.
Finish it.
Oh, we
That's the big
have.
thing.
I finished it. I don't know
So,
what your guys' problem
shut
is.
up.
I will straight admit, I got into a group randomly and got carried through there like it's no one's business, and I had no idea what was going on.
I mean, you're very good at helping people through the raid, though.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
That means a lot.
Oh,
So,
wow.
I'll get into my raid thoughts here in a second. Let's start with you, Luthien, this time. Of what you've seen, I know you've watched everything, numerous times, but actually being in
Yeah,
there,
I've seen a lot.
your experience with everything. Let's start with you, my man.
So obviously, so I haven't actually completed the raid. I've gotten about halfway through, but I have seen the entire raid. And I think that it's one of those things that's absolutely fascinating. I think it's easily one of the best parts of Destiny is just far of a as far as a design perspective, that they're so well designed, these puzzles and all these things. Some are better than others, but the fact that you have these fairly tricky puzzles that you just have to sort of figure out and that require so much coordination and teamwork, it's a fantastic design perspective from Bungie that they're willing to put in this extremely difficult content. Like something like, 2-3% of the actual player base will ever actually do the raid. but they're still willing to put all of this time and effort into it because they know that it's very important to the experience of Destiny for some people.
Oh, definitely. You know, and that's, you know, ties back to something we've all mentioned is, you know, it's the, I just almost say the most social experience you can have in the game, because it's, you know, a six-man
yeah.
group, and you're all, and it's very communication heavy, and then you have, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to wipe, and, you know, some people get angry, but most people can just go in there and have a laugh, and you get to know people, and that's where most of my friends list has come from, is just, like, I don't add everyone I raid with, but it's people that were positive experiences, where we actually, like, we had some laughs and jokes, and had a good time, mm-hmm. and then, you know, even if we were successful or not, you know, like I made a new friend, and there's people that I've played numerous times with, that I just met randomly in a raid. I mean, going jumping games real quick. I mean, Nick, you know, who's like a huge part of my life, is like we met randomly playing World of Warcraft, like randomly. Well, I mean, not randomly, but it was
is
a very
you guys met?
Yeah. It was. I mean, it was a very intricate series of events, but yeah, we just met randomly in a Skype call. And like we're inseparable now, you know, like stuff like that. And that's what I love about gaming in general. But I'm especially, you know, an MMO style game is it's so just friendly. You know what I mean? Not user friendly. It's
well, for the
it's
most,
friendly,
not,
friendly.
It's not without its not especially, you know, any. I don't want to say casual MMO. What kind of casual MMO like this? You're going to have toxicity.
Oh yeah. Oh, any social game period, you know, is going to have that.
Yeah, but from what I've found, you know, I've found good people playing Destiny,
mm-hmm.
and it's been fun getting to know people.
Definitely
through the game.
Right.
So, what do you think of? Because we did, I believe we did the Royal Baths and. The not so pleasurable gardens. How'd you like those encounters?
I enjoyed them a lot. The baths obviously took us more tries than I care to admit, but the gardens weren't too bad. And I feel like that just came down a lot to coordination and communication.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where a lot of the challenge of the raid comes, is actually coordinating and communicating well
yeah.
with your team.
Well, and that was, I mean, go ahead.
No. I insist. After you, beautiful.
You know, and I mean, you know, you brought up that it took us a while to get through the baths. And, you know, it was our first time raiding together. It was my first time through any of the raids. And, you know, and it did. It took us a while to get down that transition. But I felt like once we got that down, it was pretty easy. Like, the last time we went through it, because that was when our coordination was obviously on top of its game, that we were able to rock it pretty well because we were communicating with each other, and you know we had, you know, most of the people I played with except for White Tiger and Calumet, but you know, I mean, once we got it down, it was a lot of fun because you had
yeah.
that transition of, you know, oh okay, you're coming to me, I'm gonna go in the middle, and you feel, and it feels good. Like,
oh yeah, and that's kind of better when you know, wipe a lot and it takes you longer, because when
right.
you finally get it, that's just like the greatest feeling on the planet, you know.
Right. Well, you never learn from your successes. You only learn from your mistakes, right?
So. Speak for yourself, whatever. I'm just a overflowing goblet of successes, but you know.
Brett, we both know that you are beyond the pale when it comes to humanity, but for the rest of us, I should say.
Yes, for you lesser mortals. Get good, mortals. Get good.
Do you know how long it took me to figure out that that's what GG meant?
Get good. No, it's good game.
No, it's good game, yeah.
Wait, what?
GG
stats. GG. So
well,
I think
go.
Now we know how long it took you to figure out what that stood for.
Look, I'm not good with acronyms. Don't
oh
have to throw an
gosh.
Acronym at me. I can't do acronyms. Acronyms are stupid. Just say what you just say it. Just say the thing. don't throw an acronym at me. I won't understand.
No, you don't understand, dude. Like when you've done really good and you've wiped the floor, like two lowercase G's is the greatest thing.
Well, if you understand what it means, apparently.
If
Because
you
I
don't,
thought it
that's
was.
just like a really toxic, mean thing to say.
We should have just made him think it stood
No.
for like good grandma or something like that.
Well, and that's why I'd be insulted. Like, especially going back to Dark Souls, because I play that game way too much. You get somebody who invades you and they're like, GG, and you're like, screw you, man. Get out of here.
And
Now
now
I
you
feel
know
bad.
the whole time they've
Yeah.
been saying good game. Oh, that's awesome. I will cherish this moment.
I've been, flipping off the screen and cussing at them, and they've just been
Ha
congratulating me.
Well,
I would like to say I feel bad. I don't really, but
you'd like to say it.
right.
That goes back to the whole hating humanity thing.
Right, pretty much.
Well, while we're on the subject of your gaming successes, how do you like the raid?
I really enjoy it. I mean, Luthien is really, he there's not much I can add to it as far as like because the mechanics are, the strongest part, right? Because it makes it difficult. You have to communicate. You have to have a team that is on top of it and are patient enough to work with somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
Because there's no other way to get good at it unless you're playing at it. And so the mechanics and the way they've kind of tied that in to make the raids difficult and challenging, I think is an excellent way to do it. And the way they do it, that kind of makes it to where each player has a role to play. Like you can't rely on one specific person to carry you. I mean, you can to a certain extent, but for the most part, you have to be doing something too. Right, and even if you die a lot or whatever, and even down to the medallions that you have to use to revive somebody, you can't die all the time and expect them to revive you all the time because you only get so many. So you have to get to the point to where it encourages you to become better at the game, and I think it's a great way of doing it through the mechanics and through the medallions. I think they've nailed that part of the MMO first-person shooter with their rates. I think they've nailed it because it's fun, it's interesting, and even as you're going through it, there's enough difference to be like, okay, this is what I can do. This is still fun, and also it's enough the same that you can be like, okay, this is what I can do better to make sure that this doesn't happen next time.
Oh, definitely. And that was one of my bigger things, because I come from a very, very heavy MMO background and raiding scenes and stuff in many different games. Not the tooting horn or anything, but this is the history, because I have too much time on
Toot
my hands.
toot.
Toot toot, scrubs. No. So when I first came into Destiny, like that was a big thing that I was like very uncertain how it would turn out is a first person shooter raid, you know. And I just, oh, I mean, I'm, and once it, come to think of it, most of my raiding career in Destiny has been me being carried because I'm awful. But so I got carried through Vault of Glass a little while after I've been out. Actually, do you remember Darren Warnick? So he plays Destiny, and I randomly like reached out to him and was like, "Oh my gosh, we play Destiny. We should play together." And he has this amazing group that he plays with, and they brought me in randomly because he's like, "You haven't raided? Get in here!" You know? And oh my,
Because
I
they're
couldn't,
the
I didn't understand anything going on. I didn't understand the mechanics, but watching everything like work together and actual like boss mechanics, I couldn't believe it. I was like, "This is exactly how a first-person shooter raid should be," and they've been amazing every raid. Oh, I just love it.
Well, and I really enjoy Calamus. Is that no Cal? Whatever
Kalos.
the Emperor's name is, Kalos.
Kalos.
That was close. I've watched the raid, right? I've watched people on YouTube do it to give me an idea of what it was. And that final battle with Kalos is very interesting.
Definitely.
And to the point to where you're like, man, this guy's kind of cool. Like, I wish I knew more about him because like the psychic things that are coming at you. I mean, spoilers obviously if you haven't done the raid. But you know, the psychic version where half the team goes in and has to call out to the other team so that they can take out the right people. And then, you know, the whole thing that's going on with that final boss to be able to take him down is cool. Like,
Yeah.
and the set pieces are really cool.
Oh
Like,
yeah,
even
no,
this weapon.
just the design of the raid and the colors and oh.
Yes.
So good. Well, I kind of dug that, like, throughout the whole raid, it was really split into teams heavy. Like, there was always a group of people doing one thing and a group of people doing another thing. And then there's a
Yeah,
lot of times
helps
where,
keep it from being boring.
yeah, and I kind of dug that in a couple, a couple encounters there. It was very like, this group is doing one thing and this group is doing another thing, and you really, like, these two groups shouldn't talk to each other. But you're, like, communicating over each other. Oh, it's so much fun.
Right. Well,
Wait,
and I think that
am
that
I good or are you
encourages.
good or is he good? What do you mean?
Somebody's good, just do the thing.
Am I good to get off my platform? I don't know.
Right. Well, and then you have that moment of, shh, okay, everybody be quiet, because we're about to do this thing. And it's like only
Exactly.
the people that are transitioning talk. That's it. You know?
Well, that's one of the funnest parts is just like, you'll be having a conversation in between wipes, and you're all crying, laughing at something, and you have to, like, okay, guys, reel it in, pull it together.
Pull it together. Pull it together.
Okay, here we go. Serious face. We're raiding. Okay, go. And then you all bust a gut laughing the second you start again, you wipe. Like, oh, I love it.
Well, it begins to be funny at a certain point when you're like, man, this is like our umpteenth time doing it. Like when we were doing Trials of the Mind, you know. Eventually it just becomes amusing at your own pain.
Russell, dude,
I
like,
know. I
your
just gave this.
segues are like, that was exactly where I was going next. It's like you have the sheet as well. All right.
I know, it's weird, isn't
This podcast is yours. Fare thee well, ladies and gentlemen. It's been
it?
wonderful. I was Brett. Stay classy,
Fantastic.
New York. So going from just at least from our set, a very positive, fun, hard PvE experience. Let's go into our definitely not the same hard PvP experience.
Oh, geez.
You know, I still
So,
thought it was
Trials
fun. It
of
was
the
just.
Nine.
Trials of the Nine.
None
No,
of us
definitely.
are good at this game.
So
We
we've spent,
just stopped it.
we did 2 weekends,
We did.
and didn't
We did
win
not win a
anything.
single match.
We helped a
No,
lot
not
of
a
people
single
have
game.
good nights, though. We were
Oh,
very
man.
kind and generous guardians and went, oh,
That
is
was the
this
whole
your
point.
seventh game? Here, allow us to
Here.
help you go flawless, because we care.
We'll carry you.
Exactly.
You know, we should run for like, I don't know, if Destiny had like a president, we could run for office on that.
Oh,
We
definitely.
lose so that you
You
can
can
win.
win. That's a box I could stand on.
Yeah.
But I mean, so
But
much so the first weekend, the second weekend, I think we did like 3 matches and we're like, yeah, this isn't
yeah,
happening.
it's not getting any better.
Yeah, I still had a really good time though. I'd like, but I
It
come
was fun.
like, I played
There's
competitive first person shooters for a while, and so just like being used to that smashing your face and wanting to throw the controller across the room is for some reason something I enjoy. Because I'm a crazy
Right.
person, and so I had a great
No.
time. But like, it's frustrating not because I because you get the achievement for just winning one match basically, and you get to go, and talk to the whatever the vendor is, and you get a trophy. And so I was like, I just want the trophy. So give me one win. You guys could attest to this. I was like in tears. Let me win one match. I just
Just
want the
one.
trophy,
Just one
and
win.
then I'll never be in here again.
Well,
It's
and I
just,
think
it's
you
not meant
and
to
Nick were the
happen.
only people that got above like one kill, which was the sad part, because it was
Well, and
like,
we would occasionally, one of us or the other would get a kill, but it was always
right.
an event. And it's like,
Yeah.
I got one of them.
No, and that was kind
Yes.
of, that kind of made it like our own little game is 'cause like one person go, I killed someone, and everyone would just go, yeah.
And you would develop this camaraderie because you, at this point, you know you're not gonna win.
Oh
You
yeah,
know it's
no,
not going to
we'd load them to a
happen.
match and it
And
was
so
so
you
fun to
just
just go
have
trials gear,
fun.
trials gear. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The very, very good group of people to have fun with for sure.
Well, and I mean
Which is why I love
that's kind
you
of
guys.
And I mean, that's the great thing. And I mean, you know, that's the great thing about just some Guardians is that, you know, we kind of have fun with each other. And it's not about winning or losing. It's about, you know, we get to enjoy each other's company, which I think is the big part. I mean, like, that's why I'm on, you know,
oh, yeah.
nights. Because, you know, I enjoy that social aspect. Because I never get out of the house. Again, I'm a hermit people, just so you're aware.
Very much so. Very much so.
And so it's just a lot of fun. And, you know, when we were playing Tribes of the Nine, it was frustrating because we were just getting annihilated.
I think there's a much stronger word we could use.
I
don't know what word. I don't think there is a word to describe what happened to us in there.
We should make one up.
It was so bad. And that's one of the things, like, we don't have perfect communication. We don't really know the maps all that well because none of us really play PvP a whole lot.
Yeah, I do my weekly Shax quest, and, like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so for us to jump from very casually playing PvP to the very aggressive...
Very
aggressive meta and a very aggressive environment that is Trials of the Nine.
Yeah.
That's
like I felt like I'd been
difficult transition.
Oh yeah.
Like it was almost the traumatic experience where like I don't want to talk about it anymore. Like it's not something that should be brought up in polite company.
Right.
Like this thing happened. I can
tell us
you
about the time you dropped the soap.
But I don't want to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I think it helped that we, you know, like we walked in the door knowing that would happen, and we all just went,
right,
exactly. It's content we haven't touched. Let's just get together and at least say we've tried it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there wasn't pressure to be good at it. There wasn't pressure to win because we knew that we weren't going to do well.
Exactly.
And that's
which
fine.
Exactly. And that's why we had, you know, the experience we had of, yeah, I got a kill. You're amazing. Thank you, God.
And they just killed all of us.
Right.
In like under 5 seconds.
But I took
we almost, right. We almost won that one, guys. Hold strong. Four losses in a row. We almost won that one. Five losses in a row. Hold on, guys. We got this. Just stay strong.
Yeah, did we ever get one?
Did someday we will have.
Yep.
I think we got one.
No, we never won.
No,
a game.
We never even won a round in a game.
Yeah,
we got
yeah,
close.
That's what I was trying to remember.
No, we got very close once, and that was like the most exciting thing ever.
Yeah. So Trials of the Nine is not our forte.
No, nope.
Having fun is our forte.
We have tried it, and we can say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moving
and I'm
on.
Sure that eventually, we will go back to it after we've gotten more experience. And we will eventually win one game of Trials of the Night.
Oh, and you will
see. I
don't
know if I want to invest that kind of time. Those people have no lives.
No, they just have skill and the team they play with on a regular basis.
Look, let me feel better about this brand.
I almost think we should all just go in and play Overwatch together for like a week just to get used to communicating and then just go in there. Because getting used to communicating in Destiny is a very difficult thing to do in the Crucible.
It really is.
At least for me. I don't know. That could just be, you know, user error, personal experience, whatever. But...
Well, and I can't tell you the amount of times that I turned around. I was like, oh, okay, we got this. And then it's like, I turn around and nobody else is there. And I'm like, where did everybody go?
Oh, right.
Like, oh, yeah, we died. It's like, okay. Thanks for letting me know.
So, raid, positive experience for us. Trials, not so much.
Yep.
Well, I'm, you know...
It's a good way to sum it up.
Exactly. Okay. Hardcore PvE, we can do. Hardcore PvP, not so much. Let's slip over to some... I'm not going to say softcore, because that's weird. to
no
some softer PvP. Softer. Downy soft. That's downy soft. PvE
hashtag
experience.
Don't worry about that. That's
you don't know that. You don't know that. Which brings us straight into our sponsorship. Do you have... Okay. So the faction rally just ended, and we all cherished our time in the Lost Sector this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will not deny it like many people have attempted to. That I did not partake because I definitely partook.
Oh, I absolutely.
Well, I mean,
I
come on.
absolutely ground the exploit.
Yeah, well, I don't, I just, oh. Like, I got excited. There was so much content they added that you could get tokens from. But I was like, I just don't have that kind of time to, like, because I wanted to get the full armor set. You know, and I was like, I don't have the amount of time to pand in enough, you know, packages to get everything. And so the second you posted that video in our Discord, I was like, I must know more immediately. And then I think it was what was me and Nick were on, and you were like, let me show you my ways. Take us, master. And then we spent like an hour and a half in there.
Yeah, I think the only time I did it was when I was with you, Brett. Because otherwise, I've just been reading. Because, you know, new book. I'm a hermit.
Right.
You know.
Beautiful. But so
But.
I'd how do you, I mean, aside from the Lost Sector, how is like the idea of the faction rally compared to, I mean, I know you at least Luthien, you didn't really have the full experience of factions in Destiny 1, but how have you, as a new player, basically been enjoying that ideal, that mechanic?
I like it a lot. I think I like it from a like a theoretical perspective that you are giving the community something to sort of fight over, something to rally around that you don't really get just with the standard activities. And so it sort of gives you another reason to go back and do these activities, another reason to go back to the grind, kind of, that's still a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely. Russ, how do you enjoy the faction rally?
I mean, you know, I mean, I'll be honest. I could take it or leave it. I'm not. I don't get super invested in that. I mean, I think it's a cool thing in the aspect of, you know, it's helping the community to stay invested in Destiny. You know, kind of like what Luthien said. But I just, you know, I don't get super invested in it. Mostly because I'm like, I like having a very clear goal, and I feel like exploring and finding these things, there's some of a reward for me to want to do that, if that makes any sense.
No, for sure.
Like it's not this, like, again, I got Dark Souls because why not? That's our real start for the evening.
Right.
Yeah, I always felt a reward for going and finding something in Dark Souls. Like,
Yeah.
it's probably the game that I spent the most time with and explore every nook and cranny because you get. I didn't. I don't feel super invested in the clan alleys. I
Yeah.
do like the new Monarchy sword that I got because I went to New Monarchy because they had a cool sword. But you know, I didn't invest a whole lot of time. I mean, maybe if I had had different things to do that I wasn't as excited for. You know, like Oathbringer, which I'm gonna do a little plug for because it's an awesome book because Nick Sanderson is the bomb. But you know, I haven't become super invested in it because I haven't invested time in it. But yeah, that's how I feel.
I can dig it. That's different experiences. I love it.
Dig it.
Coming from Destiny 1, the factions were just kind of there, and it was just another way to like get some gear, and I never really got invested in it, and it was just kind of there. And I found myself like, I mean, like you said, it's really not that like investing as a mechanic really, or like a real reason to do things, but like the faction rally comes along and I find myself like, oh Lordy, and I put the freaking Future War Cult shaders on everything, and I change my emblem and I'm rocking it all week, and I'll get in groups and I'm judging people based on what their emblem is, and it, you know, like out of nowhere suddenly I care. Like, it's not that I'm super into the actual gameplay of it, but just having something, like, I guess psychologically to just be proud of. And I mean, like, what was it? One of my we were doing the raid one night with a bunch of random people I met on the 100.io hashtag. We want a sponsorship. And so we got 5 out of 6 of us in the group, and everyone had the Future War Cult emblem on, and we all just were just like, yeah, oh, you're my bros, you know. And so like the last person got in party, and they're like, "Give me 4 minutes, you know, I gotta walk the dog real quick, and then I'll join the fire team." And so while he was gone, we're all sitting there going, "I bet you anything, this guy's dead orbit. What an asshole, you know." And so like we all get silent when he gets back, and sure enough, he joins the fire team. And he's got a dead orbit emblem, and we just gave him shit all night, and it was so much fun. And he, I mean, not like super horrible mean, you know, like he had a really good time with it too, but it was just another aspect of the game, you know.
I feel like, you know, outside of, because it's hard to get competitive with clans, right? But with the I just blanked on the name of that thing. You know, the thing that you do to collect emblems for specific things.
that description helped greatly.
Yeah,
Are we still
what
talking
are
about
we
the faction
talking about?
rally?
Thank you. Jeez, that was the
The
word.
faction rally?
Oh, you were looking for faction rally. Okay.
Yeah. The thing that
Gotcha.
we were talking about. You the thing with faction, which definitely lends something to, you know, playing, because then you're like, I don't know, it's more acceptable, I guess,
Oh yeah.
to be competitive with factions instead of clans.
I wish they did a like since they're adding more to the faction thing, you know, I really wish they did like a I would do Crucible more if they did like a Crucible playlist where you just played with people of your faction against people in other factions. That'd be so much fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
That would
Just
make
another
it more interesting to me.
yeah, you know. And I understand that it's not actually like a faction war, you know, but since, you know, no one's really dying in the Crucible anyway, lore-wise, I don't see why not, you know. They just and that's just another fun thing to do in the game, another reason to play with friends and talk smack and just have a laugh, you know.
Well, and I think that would make it more interesting, more competitive. I mean, of course, you're going to get the douches out there, but,
Oh
you
yeah, and
know.
that happens in anything for sure. But
Yeah, but I think having that extra competitive rivalness would make it fun, because if you do it in the right way,
Oh
it
yeah.
would make it more interesting to me.
Well, and that'd be like I'd almost be cool if they did like you know, because they base the winner off of how many, you know, packages were handed and whatnot. But I'd be cool to just see like if they did it separately, like this faction won packages, and like this faction won in the Crucible, and that'd just be that would be the statistic I'd be way more excited to see. Just like I was a part of that, I'm helping, yay!
Yes,
Because
but
like
yeah,
seeing these numbers of
that's
like. You know, 8 million packages handed in, and I handed in 30. I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure if I really helped at all. You
yeah.
know,
I know I didn't.
but no, I really enjoyed it. Positive, just another fun thing to do. Another reason to log in, really. You know, not a huge make or break for the game, but I enjoy having something else to do. You know,
Because you
what's
have so
next?
little to do on a regular basis.
Right, all the time. Let's jump in something even more recent. We have the Clarion call going on actually right now. And that's the double XP weekend. I thought it was going to be a week-long thing, but
Is it only the weekend?
I think it
Yep, it's
ends
just,
on the
I think
release
it's just
set,
this
yeah.
weekend.
I mean,
Yeah, so
obviously, you just said
technically it's
it's
like
the weekend,
4 days, but technically it's now through the reset. But, you know, I thought it'd be a big deal. A lot of people have been, I've been watching all over the place, people talking about not understanding why it's here. Like, we're already all level cap and blah, 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 blah. And, like, it's there. So if you have, you know, alts you haven't leveled yet, you know, you can get them up quickly. Or, you know, because with the next season, everything in the Eververse is changing. And so it's another way to just quickly get as many bright engrams as you can so you have everything you want, you know. And I love it's just such a cool idea. I've loved that
Yeah, I
ever
definitely
since
think that
go ahead.
it's more for the people who, like me, were like, I've only ever played Hunter characters. And so having the chance to really rapidly level up a new character is going to be really cool. It's really valuable to me.
Oh, definitely. You know, and since it's all just, you know, really, really from a base standpoint for Eververse, I just want to touch on the fact that I've loved since they, because Eververse came in later in Destiny 1, that wasn't there from the beginning,
right?
Is it's always been just a extra cosmetically fun thing. Like they've it's never been a pay to win, you know. And a lot of people, there's a lot of new people that came into Destiny 2 and saw Eververse and you could pay stuff and immediately flipped out before looking at it. But, and they've always done a really good job of, you know, making it accessible for everyone, even if you didn't spend money. Like in Destiny 1, there was like certain activities you do, like every milestone you reach, basically you'd get, they didn't do like bright engrams, but you'd get something from Eververse, you know. Then I loved the addition, and I didn't know they were doing this until I like hit level cap, that, you know, every time you hit basically an air quotes level from experience, you get a bright engram, which has a chance to have, you know, numerous items from the Eververse. And so there's no reason to spend money. And I just love how that's been done. It's all just by choice. You could choose to pay money or you can just play the game. And that's the way it should be. And I love it.
Well, and I think that's the better way to do microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I you know, people always, I would always get these invites to like mobile games and stuff like that, which are fun. For instance, Pokemon Go. Really fun at first. But then when you get a high enough level, you're spending so many Pokeballs, right, to try and capture something, that you're having to pay money to actually be able to use the product.
Oh, yeah.
And it, to me, I'm like, I don't want to spend money to continue to play this game. And I feel like you said, I feel like Destiny has handled that pretty well in that the Eververse is cosmetic. I mean, and you know, they occasionally sell like a sparrow or whatever, or a ship, but it's nothing that you need or nothing mm-hmm. that is required for you to level up or play the game. In fact, there's nothing in there that'll help you max your light level or increase your light level that I'm aware of.
I mean, there's just the fire team medallion, which increases an XP gain, but like that's just right. sitting there on the front screen at all times that you can spend, you know, bright dust that you get from doing anything in the game to buy it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was like, I've never bought anything from Eververse. I already have like 15 of those Fireteam tokens, and all that really does is let you earn bright engrams faster.
Yeah, exactly. It
doesn't really impact the gameplay at all. And, you know, that's something that, like, it's the obvious argument that everybody makes as soon as you start talking about loot boxes is if it's cosmetic and doesn't impact the game, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way it should be.
And that's what this is. And the thing that I would say the big caveat also is that it needs to be realistically attainable with gameplay. Mm-hmm. The big problem that EA ran into with the new Battlefront controversy
yes.
was that they had these things that you could earn through game, but it wasn't realistically feasible to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it's just sort of turned into this...
Like, because the big massive selling point of Battlefront is that you could, like, I mean, if you did, like, good enough in a game, you could play as a hero, and didn't they do a thing where, like, the mm-hmm. heroes were all locked behind that wall, yeah. basically? Is that what it was? I haven't looked super far into it, but I've seen it everywhere. Wall.
And this is sort of outdated discussion, because there's been major changes, but basically yeah. when it first launched, it would have taken about 40 hours of grinding to unlock one hero.
Oh my god. No wonder. Because I was wondering what it was that caused
exactly.
such a... Like, because there's always massive. A backlash when you do stuff like that. But to have it... I've never seen to a point where, that... like, there's actually major changes. And EA actually comments on it. Because EA doesn't yeah. comment on anything, you know?
Oh, no. And this was such a major... They've actually... So the biggest update, the most recent update to this, is that they have taken all microtransactions offline while they do major damage control.
I even saw like an article today where like Wall Street was even talking about it, and I was like, holy exactly. crap.
It was a huge issue, and a lot of it came down to A, that, you know, these goals weren't really realistically attainable through gameplay, and B, that what you could get in the loot boxes actually did affect gameplay. Those loot mm-hmm. boxes was the only way to progress any of your characters. It was the only way to level up at all, was through loot boxes. So you could either earn those loot boxes through gameplay or just buy them and immediately level up all of your guys because you spent $100 on loot boxes. And obviously that is the worst possible loot box model.
Oh yeah.
And it was just
a cheap way.
Exactly. It's just a very soulless, very corporate way of approaching a game.
It's a very EA way of approaching a game.
It's a very EA way to approach a game. And it was just completely completely unhidden that they were just blatantly putting us out there in the most EA way possible. And that's why, you know, hopefully they got the message from the massive outrage. And when they bring those, they are going to bring those microtransactions back on because, you know, it's EA. They want that revenue. Hopefully they will have made the changes that the community has asked for when they do so.
Oh, and the really cool thing with this is, you know, it's not just a Battlefront EA thing. Like every game, you know, creator, publisher is paying attention to this and, you know, loot crates and stuff like that have been a big topic of discussion for a while. And we all knew that eventually something like this had to happen to actually get the point across that it's not okay. And like, I'm glad it's finally happened because now everyone's going to pay attention to that. It had to get really bad before it could get really good. And I love that.
Yep. And that's where, you know, it got to the point where I think this year, like so many of those AAA titles coming out had loot boxes and people were tired of it. And it's reached that point of people are being like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
And making our voices heard. And as long as, you know, we actually do make our voices heard and that, you know, voting with our wallets, all of that, keep the video game industry honest and make sure that they know that we're not okay with that. And I think that they will listen because the video game industry, as big as it is still very much impacted by consumers on a small scale.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like Battlefront and like Shadow of War, that they have these very prominent loot box controversies. I think people are just going to be tired of it this year. And I think that next year, I'd be very interested to see how that market has changed.
Oh, for sure. Well, let's. Go ahead. We'll hit your thing, and then we'll reel it back into Destiny.
Oh yeah.
Go for it.
Well, I mean, you know, we're just going off on all sorts of tangents today.
This is what a podcast is, right?
Exactly, and this is what a basic game night with us is anyway. Like, welcome to our clan. This is what you can look forward to.
You know, I didn't really understand the upset over the loot boxes in Shadow of War, because to me they didn't really impact the way I played the game. I mean, you got some more powerful enemies and you got some certain weapons,
Well, I think the big one with wasn't the big one with Shadow of War that like that developer that died during it and like they wanted to make you pay for like the special mission with him involved? Wasn't that a thing?
I did remember hearing about that. I don't think that was the issue with loot boxes, though. Okay. I think they're separate.
Because that was the big one with Shadow War. They wanted it to be DLC. That I heard. Yeah, that's right.
It was going, DLC
in memory of a developer that died making the game, and then they were going to charge you for it. Yeah,
which,
that's right.
I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there. I think the problem with loot boxes in a single-player game like Shadow of War is that there isn't really a reason for them.
Yeah, well, because it doesn't affect against other people, you know.
Yeah, well,
there wasn't a point for the loot boxes, so they didn't bother me. So I didn't feel like I needed to go and buy them because they didn't do anything. I mean, they did do certain things. I mean, like, because I played it a lot. You know, you could get people, orcs, captains, whatever you want to call them, that were more powerful from the loot box. Which was nice in the in-game content because it made the in-game content a little bit easier because you had these more powerful orcs that could that you could place in your castles, basically. But they weren't, like, you could still get the same by having people attack and then dominating them. Right, so I mean, like, it wasn't that big of a deal to me. Anyway, moving back to
Destiny.
Speaking of the month of December, no, I'm just kidding. That was forced. I cherish it though.
So December
is going to be
has been announced.
I was going to talk about Star Wars. What's Curse of Osiris?
Oh, you're going to talk about Star Wars.
What are you guys talking about?
Well, let me tell you what the Curse of Osiris is. It looks like an awesome bit of DLC that's going to go into a character that is really, really interesting and who I have a lot of questions about that looks awesome.
I do just want to throw in that as of yesterday, we have 4 weeks till Star Wars. Okay, moving on.
That's a thing.
December 5th.
Osiris DLC. Going back to wanting all of this really lore to be in the game and be represented, I think that Curse of Osiris is a big step in that direction.
Because
you have
step.
This character that was so so frequently referenced and was such a big figure in Destiny 1's DLC, or not DLC, in Destiny 1's lore. And he was mentioned over and over in the Grimoire.
It was
one of the most well-known and notorious guardians. That actually being able to see that in game and actually being able to explore a story around him, I think is very exciting.
Oh yeah.
I'm really hopeful that the next DLC will in fact be Anna Bray, as people have been speculating.
I still think it's going to be Rasputin, which I'd love, but.
Well, it would be cool. Both.
Yeah, technically.
Because they showed like the cover art that had the hunter on it, and people are speculating that that could be Anna Bray because of her like emblem on her shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing, the Clovis Bray Corporation is so tied into the
everything
war mines.
Yeah.
That I feel like that would just be. I'm really excited for them to start doing more DLCs covering deep lore content that. You know, the lore community has known about for a long time, but that the that some of the more casual players may have never seen.
Well, and that ties in perfectly with, especially with you saying it, with how you really got into Destiny was just, this is decent, and then you learned about the lore, and you're like, okay, I want more. It's going to be huge for people that are really into Destiny. That really don't know lore, and then this will be the first time it's about someone we already know about, which will make them go, okay, I need to go look up who this guy actually is, because apparently he's a big deal, and then suddenly the doors will be open for them of lore, and then they'll find themselves in a rabbit hole and learning about everything. You know, it's a thing that not a lot of people understand that they'll love until they start looking into lore and go, this is really cool.
Yeah, I had no idea who Osiris was. Before you guys started talking about it. I mean, I'd heard his name obviously with Destiny 1, the Trials of the Trials of Osiris and everything. But I had no idea. I thought it was a group of people, I mean, to be honest with you. Which I guess it kind of
technically, but
yeah, it's the followers.
Right. But well, because now that I've now that you guys have mentioned him, like, you know, Luthien, you sent that video out earlier today that was kinda
that was so sweet.
Osiris a little bit more. It was very interesting.
My name is Bai. Thank you for everything you do.
Yes, and a big plug to the YouTube lore community for Destiny is fantastic. That it's a lot like the Dark Souls lore community, that you have this game with a fairly obscure lore set. That there's such a great YouTube community out there who summarizes the lore and sort of puts it into a cool.
Oh, definitely. I don't know if either of you guys.
My Name Is Bright does Dark Souls too, right?
What's that?
Does Bife do Dark Souls? Bife.
No. So, fun fact: My Name Is Bife and Voctivia are two different people who sound exactly alike and both do obscure lore videos.
That's
exactly alike.
No, there's
if you go on My Name Is Bife's Twitter, it's like. I saw this post. It's like, all right, this is my monthly reminder that Vati and I are not the same person.
No, there's he's on the Destiny Community Podcast. There's a guy on there that has, I don't know if you guys know Level Cap. He does like a lot of like YouTube gaming and stuff. But they sound exactly alike. Like for the longest time, I thought it was him pretending not to be him on this podcast. And so I actually had to like go, but yeah, it's that same thing. Like, how do these people sound so much alike? But I don't know if you guys listen to Focused Fire Chat at all. Have you heard of them? So they're a podcast that talks about lore, and they have like every Tuesday they start a conversation on a topic that's been chosen, and like their whole community gets together and just blows up the Discord very in-depth talking about one discussion and linking to like proofs of this and that. And then at the end of the week, they do a podcast talking about everything they talked about during the week. And it's a very in-depth and well-done podcast through the lore. And I know, Russ, you're talking about when we were talking about the raid, that you wanted to know more about Kallus. And there's like 3 or 4 episodes just about like Kallus and stuff with him. And it's like super interesting. You should go look that up.
I probably will.
Focused Fire Chat. It's fantastic.
But I mean, getting back to Osiris, I mean, it's just, he is a very interesting character. And one of the things that I noticed that I'm kind of interested to see if they'll even touch on is, so he had the powers that, as a warlock, you get from the Shard, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's using the new...
The Traveler.
Yeah, the new subclass,
so,
yeah.
My question is that an old power that some of the older Guardians had, or was it a new power as it appeared here? And if it's a new power, then how did he get it?
I'd thought about how he got it, but I hadn't even thought about the fact that maybe it's actually such an ancient thing that we're just like the new people to have it again. I hadn't even thought of that.
Interesting
thought.
I'm sure that that is answered somewhere in some item description.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
That, you know.
If you know lore really well and you're really into it, like, someone send us an email and tell us.
Right.
Yep. I want to know.
Sum up all of the... That's one of the things, like, I know that the Arcstrider, for example, for Hunters, there's really interesting sort of lore description on the Arcstrider itself, on that class.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cool description of, like, who the first Arcstriders were and why they aren't around anymore. And why it's a big thing that we have the Arcstrider ability. And I think that, again, like you were saying, that could come down to that the Shard is giving us these sort of light arc classes that weren't around before, or that were around a long time ago and aren't around contemporarily.
Oh, and that's one of the reasons why I love, I'm a Sunbreaker Titan. Some people hate me, some people love me for it. But because that order, I know. Oh, that's so sweet. But, you know, the Sunbreakers were, you know, when that came out in Destiny 1, I fell in love with it. One, because it's a super fun subclass. Hashtag Titan Master Race. Awesome, yeah. But, but, like, just the whole aspect of, like, they weren't in the tower. Like, it was just a different order, and I had to go somewhere and, like, initiate myself, and then I was the first Guardian in centuries to be in the tower as a Sunbreaker, and like that was so cool, you know. Just that line of dialogue made me, yeah, just that one dialogue was just like, I'm gonna be a Sunbreaker forever because now I'm super special. Like, I loved that. Also, it's super fun to play, but
and cheap.
No, that you're thinking of pulse grenades on the Striker Titan and the dogs. That's what you're thinking of.
Frickin' pulse grenades. Don't even get me started on pulse grenades, man.
No, seriously, we were in there, and I was like, all right, I'm going to switch to Striker, and, like, I would throw a grenade on the dog and then run and start helping you guys, and it was dead before I even got to you. Like, it's ridiculous.
It really is.
Like, I hope they don't... I don't want them to fix it. I want them to make everyone else's grenades do that, because that is the greatest feeling, just going, that's it, like, when it comes to balancing issues. Like, I wish more times people would just be like, this is overpowered, let's bring everything else to its level instead of nerfing this to the ground. Like, I wish that was more of a thing, you know.
Well, and I mean, like, honestly, I mean, you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, the Strikers, they have their pulse grenades, which are really powerful. But I mean, you know, as an Arc Striker, your ult lasts forever.
Oh, yeah.
If you have the radon.
I couldn't believe that.
I mean, like, There are balances that are achieved, you know, and yeah, it's really annoying when you get hit by one of those and the ult coming off them as a grenade does.
I can't tell you how many times we were in trials and I heard you go, that pulse grenade is still going.
Still. Like 4 seconds. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, it all balances out. Like, as much as I want to be like, stupid thing, it does balance out eventually.
Oh yeah. Okay, let's stick with Curse of Osiris for a second here.
Right, that's the thing.
let's start with so we just discovered, if you guys don't know, that if you open your directory, there's a Curse of Osiris icon and it lets you watch the cinematic.
Which is awesome.
I want to talk about that, Russ. Dive in, man. The cinematic for you. Go.
So, like, one of the things, and, you know, I'm gonna talk to people who have already seen it, because, you know, it's cool, but I don't want to, like, rehash it, because I can't, you know, I can only do it so much justice, right? So I'm not gonna summarize it or anything. But there are just some really cool things that are just happening there that I feel like are really interesting. I think I've said interesting like 5 times because it's cool. And cool.
Is
like
it interesting?
Times. Yeah.
Is it interesting?
It's
interesting.
It's cool. It's awesome. I think those are all the adjectives there.
Wow, that's interesting.
But like, what is that cube that he's holding that he's moving around, which obviously is allowing him to transition through time?
Or yeah, that was trippy.
Very cool. And like, it just looked like a cool instrument. And like, complicated to use, like to the point to where it even looked like he was having a hard time, like he doesn't fully understand what it is, which is a nice touch, I thought. And then like, the fact that he didn't care anything for the guardians that were there. Like, he was walking through and his ghost was like adjusting the weapons and doing everything. But he was very focused on other things.
Which makes you think, though, how many times have you been in a strike and Osiris walked by and slapped your ass? And you just never knew.
No, right. That's a good
like,
maybe that's why we lost so many times in Trials with an Iron.
Just messing with it. His ghost came over and moved our gun to the right at the last second.
Right.
Yeah, curse you! That's the curse of Osiris. That is the actual curse. That he makes our aim horrible.
I think. All right,
continue, my man.
That's why I have bad aim.
Right. Exactly. That's why I put a big magnifying glass in the center of my screen.
Right. So that's really cool, and it brings to mind, you know, the fact that he wasn't necessarily helping the other guardians. You know, they bring this up in the trailer with Ikora.
Ikora.
I'm saying that right.
Ikora.
It's probably pronounced Ikora, but you know, you do what you gotta do.
Right. Where she was talking about, like, at the very end of the trailer, she said something about, like, is he gonna be on our side or is he not?
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps that question going of, he's there, he's not really doing anything for the other guardians.
Yeah.
Is he still
a guardian? Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
well, it's because he's a powerful guardian, but his ideals are so like that. And also with, I mean, just naming it the Curse of Osiris, you know, it's just so
right.
What does it mean?
Well, yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how much of that is actually explored in the DLC,
mm-hmm.
right?
And how much of it is going to be just left up to speculation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to see the time travel aspects of the Vex too, because it seems like that's going to be a big focus on this, especially with the Endless Forest, right?
Oh yeah.
Where it's this place where they transition back and forth between time periods, and it's something like they've talked about, but it's not really something that we've
seen. And that's the thing is like in game, like they've always talked about Vex or time travelers, and it's really just come across as like them just teleporting randomly across wherever you are. Like, they're just more like teleporters instead of time travelers. So I'm looking really forward to them actually building upon that concept of showing in game, not just in a description line, that they actually time travel, you know. And I want to have like past Vex look different and a future Vex look
exactly
like, to be able to tell the difference on looker. I'd love it even if it was just like, you know, you see a hobgoblin, you know, and like a future hobgoblin comes through and you like have to fight them slightly different, you know, like not just, blah, 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 blah. They're completely different.
Yeah. And I think that's my biggest complaint about PvE in Destiny is that you have basically the same 5 enemies with different skins.
Yeah.
That when you're fighting the Vex and you're fighting the Fallen, you have the same sort of hierarchy of, you've got your Dreg and your goblins, and your Vandals and, you know, on and on. And that, you know, they don't feel very different other than just where their weak points are.
And that's kind of
Whereas some of
why
them,
I like the Vex
it's
the
less,
most.
yeah, it's less of a problem in Destiny 2 just because of they've been able to play with the AI a little bit and been able to play with
Make
how they move, how they feel to fight
creepy
against.
spider
In
crawling. Ugh.
Destiny 1, it really felt like I was just fighting against reskins of all the same enemies.
And that's why I loved, I think, I can't tell you how many times it'd be like a rough day and I get home and I'm like, I'm just gonna sit down and shoot Vex. And I'll just go to the planet
Right.
and just shoot Vex wherever, because you know everyone else is just shooting ahead, shooting ahead, shoot ahead, and like even just having the difference of I've got to shoot for the freaking crystal beam in their belly,
Torso.
like yeah, exactly, like that just en was enough to spice it up and just make it slightly different. But well, that was the big thing with when the Taken were introduced, because again, it was all people we've already fought, but they were all completely different. Like you'd see. You know, a Taken Vandal was completely different than just a regular Fallen Vandal, you know. And
Right,
it,
yeah.
when they first announced it, everyone was like, oh, we're just going to reskin enemies. But then they were all completely different. And, like,
Well,
I
and
just, I'm.
that's what I'm hoping for in the Curse of Osiris is some different behaviors.
You know, almost like
Great.
Taken, but.
Along with the reskins, because we have seen in the trailer, we've seen some reskins of like some new harpies. We don't know if they're future or past harpies, but some reskins of those characters, I want them to actually feel different to fight against rather than just look different, you know?
You
Oh,
know, and
definitely.
that's a great point. I mean, you know, that's definitely something that I'd like to see too, is, you know, being able to fight these enemies in a different way. Because we've seen the same enemies that we saw in Destiny, yet through all the expansions. Because you get the Taken, you get the Vex, you get the Cabal, and you know, there were some different changes to the Cabal. Which I enjoyed. So I hope that they do take that forward with the Vex, where there's a little bit bigger of a difference with the Vex. Because, you know, with the Cabal, they introduced those captains. And they had, or that's what I call them, the guys with the big shields.
Yeah, captains.
And even the what you call them, the grunts, they act a little bit differently than they did in the original Destiny. You know, and so it was. They had some different behaviors, but it was also very similar. So I'm hoping that, you know, like Luthien said, I kind of hope that that happens with the Vex as well, because that would be interesting to see
Oh yeah, I mean
that
they definitely
progression.
could do it because they've done it before, you know. Oh, that'd be awesome. I can't wait. So what do
Yes.
you so what have we got some content? We haven't seen everything for actual content. I think that's their next live stream is the actual covering all the actual content that's coming. But we know, I think they said a new Crucible map, Strike. And then we now know what the raid content is. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, that it's the
Yes.
raid lair,
Yeah, and I
which I think
kind of.
is fascinating. It'll
Yeah,
be
no, please
interesting
go
to
for it
see
on
how they
that.
expand upon that.
It's such a neat idea. And I knew, like, it had to be. Like, I knew we weren't going to get a full new raid, but I knew it'd be something close to a raid. But once I mean, because I originally saw it and I was like, oh, that's what I figured is they just kind of add more to the Leviathan because it's huge and it makes sense, you know, especially since, spoiler alert, you don't actually kill Kallus. Like, obviously, there's more to it.
There's more to it,
And so
yeah.
I knew they'd have to add on to that. But, and the whole premise of how they've described how the raid layering will work is just, oh, it's brilliant. I can't wait to see
It'll
what continues with that.
and it'll be interesting to see because when they were showing the raid lair and they're showing like the select screen for it, you had the Leviathan main raid, you had the raid lair off one side, and then they had another empty one on the other side. So we're going to get another raid lair with the next DLC. I will be interested to see if we also get a new, entirely new raid.
Oh, I think
And
so,
if
because that's
then,
usually how their
and
track
then
record's
if
gone.
that one, yeah, if that one then also gets its own layers. If we can
Oh,
get
yeah.
more layers to each raid, that would be amazing.
And it could get to the point, because they've done this in the past, you know, where they get their feeling for how to, add, you know, a certain style of content, and then they can do it, like, even just not an expansion, like, just out of nowhere. I mean, we've gotten a couple of new Crucible matches where they're just out of nowhere. We're like, here you go. Like, that'd be so cool if it got to the point, and I know they'll probably get there, because they've done it in the past, where they can just go, all right, guys, randomly out of nowhere in this week, there's a new raid layer. Enjoy it. Like, what?
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
Surprise.
And the Leviathan is just amazing, and I can't wait to see set pieces for, I mean, because, I mean, the Crucible map even looks completely different than the raid, you know, like, the set pieces they can use with going all over. I mean, just, I mean, have you, we didn't go into the underbelly with you guys, I don't think, but.
No, we never did.
Have you guys seen video? Okay, yeah. But just, like, the complete difference in how the underbelly looks to the rest of it, like,
right.
what they can do with set pieces throughout these layerings of different sections of the Leviathan, and then what they can do with encounters and. And I think, I mean, they even said there's going to be a whole new gear set and weapons with the lair, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah, they're going to have.
Yeah.
Well, and that's just going to come with the Mercury area. Well, because that's going to be the new lighthouse bit. Because they said that we would be able to craft the new.
Well, I'm talking about with the just with the raid, though. The like, lair. There's a whole new armor set and stuff for just the raid lair, if I read that correctly, right?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
So no, like you said, we did have one for Mercury, but I think they said that there'll be at least for sure there's a, I know there's weapons. I don't know about armor set, but like, it's not just this cheesy, there's a lot of people talking about this little, they're just throwing randomly, like, it's going to be some substantial content with more gear to chase, which is what we want, you know, and I'm super excited for it.
Well, and I mean, like, that's one of the things that I'm really excited about. Is this kind of Egyptian flair, because, you know, I'm a really big fan of, like, the medieval ages and kind of that. You know, I'm a fantasy guy, so the more fantasy the
not
looks,
you
the more I'm like, yeah,
Dark Souls and Shadow Mordor, and you like fantasy, what?
I know. So I mean, like, I'm really excited about the new weapons and armor to get that more of a fantasy element coming in. I mean, just even what's that gun that you got from the Iron Banner that Vigilance Wing or
no, the Forward Path, the auto rifle.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the one that has like the super high magazine, and I just like tear through people, and not because I'm skilled. I've only been doing better because of this gun.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you say. But yeah, I mean, I'm just excited for that kind of fantasy element, you know, that's going to get added, because they did that with the Iron Banner, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, oh, the Iron Banner armor set's always been.
Yeah. And so I'm excited for that as well, just as a little aside.
Space wizards and knights, and yeah, oh.
Yes. So, Star Wars, right?
Right. So let's slip over into Luthien. You started talking about it with, we're going to have the new armor sets and stuff for Mercury, and that's going to be a social space too. And I believe Mercury is going to be a new, it's not patrol area. What do they call it? Oh my God. It was patrol areas in Destiny 1.
Social space?
Just a new social. Yeah, sort of a new hub world.
Destination. That's what they call them. Destinations.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are going to have a new social space, which is the Lighthouse, which was the, if you went flawless in Trials of Osiris in Destiny 1, that's where you went. And so we're going to have it as just an, everyone can go to, I mean, it's going to be different, obviously, but that's basically the same place. And I'm super excited because, obviously, from my Trials record here, I never went there in Destiny 1. So I'm excited.
I saw pictures of it, and it looked cool from Destiny 1.
And it looks so much better in Destiny 2. Oh my God, I can't wait. And then, like you said, we're getting a new armor sets, which look cool. I saw those in a couple screenshots, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Weapons, new exotics. I think they confirmed we're gonna get some exotics that have that Vex milk in it.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's
Michael Cyrus,
that's
what the bracers, and
that's what the Mercury pieces are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a crafting mechanic or a crafting quest
If you
series.
wanna, if you know
But you
stuff
have
about that, if
to.
you wanna dive into that, because I'm not 100% with that.
Yeah, so in the lighthouse, there is a sort of map thing on the wall that has dots around it. And
Oh yeah, I saw that.
as you build up, gather materials, we're not sure exactly how the mechanics for it are going to work, but you're going to be able to earn weapons and gear and such through that little thing. And it'll just have a certain the certain weapons, and that'll be the Osiris themed stuff. That'll be the Vex themed weapons and gear and that sort of thing, I
I can't wait
believe is
for
all being earned through that.
sound effects on a Vex themed weapon.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be
that's
cool.
one of the scare, like Vex are fun to fight, but they're just hearing their weapons go off is like the scariest thing
Right.
for a weapon sound effect in the game. I can like I'll be running in a circle from Cabal and like I'll almost be dead and I'm like, okay, Brett, you can do it, but like my bar will be flashing while I'm fighting Vex hearing their guns and I'm like, I'm so not gonna make it, I'm dead, you know. Again, sound design, so good,
Very well done.
Oh, let's hear anything else with Curse of Osiris we know right now. Let's recover the trailer, the
It's
cinematic.
gonna be awesome. The cinematics are gonna be really cool. I'm just
I'm
excited that they're
excited for more
opening
campaign cinematics because you
Helios.
know that's a thing now. I'm excited for more of those.
I just want to see him
Oh,
remove his mask. That's all.
yeah, right. I really because we've never had another aspect of a ghost guardian interaction. So like to have like Osiris and his ghost going back and forth and having, you know, a relationship
Right.
almost, you know, like I'm super excited to see that because
That's
the
true.
only other moment we've had of that is really just when we actually caught up to Cade in Failsafe and he like he's hiding and his ghost is above and he grabs it and drags it down. Like that's really the only other time we've had someone else really interacting with their ghost.
That's
And
true.
Osiris just going, I don't care what the consequences are, like you need to get out of here and just throwing her through a portal, like that's huge. I
Well,
don't
and
think
the
if he
fact
caught
that
that,
you're going to
like.
be interacting with his ghost, because
Yeah.
that's what they said, is that,
That's
you know,
basically
it's going
what
to start
starts the
with
whole
you.
chain.
Yeah. And so getting that perspective will be really interesting
Yeah.
of, you know, our ghost is so connected with us and it knows us so intimately, you know, that's kind of the premise. And then being able to see that, how it thinks of Osiris will be interesting as well.
Oh yeah. Well, and then you just saw like when they got into combat and like how just well oiled they were, you know, or she 2 o'clock medium range to your left, you know, like that
Right.
was so cool.
Yes.
But and then the scary thing though is like because you know he's finding out that there's something really crazy, scary going on with the Vex, and that's why he's there. So for it to be
Right.
so bad that he's like because he threw, you know, when he throws his ghost, that means if he dies, he can't be resurrected because the ghost isn't there.
Dead.
So it's so bad that he went like, I'm okay if I die because I have to try to stop this. It's that bad. And like that scares me. I was already scared of what the Vex were doing, and then the second I watched that cinematic and he was like, I don't care, you need to get out of here because you're cramping my style. And just threw her through the portal. I was like, all right, this is scary. I don't know what's going
Right.
on. Whoa. Whoa. And he looks so cool. That's not how I pictured he'd look, but the second, like the first trailer came out, and the first time he walked through the
Right.
portal, it was this weird, like that's not at all what I thought he'd look like, but it was immediately like, yep, that makes sense.
And I love that he actually looks old. Like he looks aged. That like basically all most of the characters that we've been interacting with are like in good shape. You know, fairly
Right.
middle-aged people.
Well, they
And
look
then he,
ageless.
just looking at his eyes, like he looks like he's been around the block. He looks like he's,
Well, and that's another thing
he's
is,
been around
you
forever.
know, with, because Guardians always, you know, you get, when you get resurrected by your ghost, basically the first time, when you become a Guardian, like whatever part of your life you get resurrected, that's what you look like forever, which is why, like, Saladin's been around since before the city, before the wall even started getting built, you know, and he looks, you know, maybe,
Ageless.
you know, mid-30s or whatever, you know, like, so it could be one of those
Prime.
things like he was just revived as an older version of himself, or it literally could be because he's done so much like work in time that it's actually, like you said, aged him for like
Well, I mean,
for the
if you
first
think
time
about it in a
ever.
certain way, I mean, he's kind of like, I don't know if anybody watches Doctor Who, but he's kind of like a time lord, There's no telling how old he is because he's been in time for so long. I mean, as you watch Doctor Who, it could jump from like, in one episode they're talking about him being, 900 years old, and then in the next one they're talking about him, he's like, oh yeah, I'm like 1500 years old now. It's like, oh man,
Well, I think
there's been a big jump
somewhere.
where you've been doing other things in this time that we're
Yeah.
not aware of, that
Well, I
we've
think
never
somewhere
seen.
it was mentioned someone was yelling at him that he was like a failed golden age experiment. So, like, I don't know whether that means he's been alive since then, or he was an experiment during the golden age and then died at the collapse and then was revived. But, like, that guy's been around a while.
Well, it seemed to indicate in the My Name is Bri video that he was a Golden Age experiment. He died, and then he was resurrected by his ghost.
Okay, cool. No, I
Yeah.
just missed that exact part right there. So perfect. Thank you.
That's what it
Beautiful.
seemed like. But still, I mean, even then, the experiment or the questions that he had about the Traveler and everything like that is a, and are we going to get to hear from the Traveler in the expansion? Because he's awake now. He's there. So are we going to get to,
Sorry, I'm just
or are they
imagining.
going to,
I'm just imagining the Traveler turning, and it's just a giant Rick head.
Show me what you got.
I'm a Traveler,
I don't
Morty.
know if
I'm a
anybody.
Traveler.
Turn myself into a Traveler.
Traveler. Or, like, will we
Become
eventually get to go
Traveler.
into the Traveler? Like.
And that's a good question
Oh, man.
too. Is there something in the Traveler? Is it a ship? Is it a, I mean, there's lots of
Well, we know that
questions.
it's a machine. We
Yeah.
know that much.
Right. But is it a machine that houses something else that's living?
It
We'll have to give him
will. It'll
that.
be interesting to see where we go in the future.
But yeah, I'll be really interested to see if he starts to Osiris himself. If we get to inter you know, once we, I'm assuming we'll get to interact with him at some point. Will he be able to provide some answers to us about what's going on with the Traveler? Why was it dormant for so long? If he knows any more about the darkness that, woke up at the, spoiler
Oh, he
alert,
knows
but
a lot about the darkness.
so, I mean, those are just some, I hope those are questions that they address and they don't just like postpone what we saw at the end until the next game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well,
Like,
I'm
I hope
excited to
that they
see
start
if we get a
moving.
new, like, because, the big talks right now is whether we know we're going to get a new speaker, like, because he's got a room in the tower. But or on the wall, but the big debate now is whether Osiris is going to come back and be the speaker, or if Ikora is going to be it. And so I'm excited to see that role filled and what how that story goes.
In the lore, does it talk about where the speaker came from?
So when a mommy
Or
speaker and
what
a
he
daddy
was?
speaker,
They love each other very, very
each other
much.
very much.
or not, just whatever happens, happens. They were
Yeah,
at
I
a
mean, because was he a guardian or
tequila
was he
happened.
just there?
Well, actually, I'm not sure of that answer, whether he actually was. Like, I
I'm
would
sure
assume
that the
so.
answer is out there.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I just haven't found it or looked really. But, like, I would assume he is, since he's, I mean, speaks for the Traveler, but at the same time, he totally could not.
Right.
No, I think our travel, I think our speaker. Was part of the whole, was there for the whole Osiris incident, and that happened a long time ago.
He
So then
was.
he, so
Well,
yeah,
it
so
said
then
that
he ha
in
he
the
has to
My
be a
Name is Bri
guardian then,
video.
yeah. So he would have to have been a guardian then to live that long.
Or something, or someone that's kind of
Anyone who actually
known.
knows is like dying inside listening to us right now,
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is painful to anybody who knows what they're talking about.
right, but I mean, without knowing. That would make
As are
sense to
most of
me.
my conversations with anybody.
Right. Seriously. Oh,
So, on a
boy.
completely unrelated note, I just found a setup that gives me 6 recovery on my hunter, and it makes me really
Nice.
happy.
What? Dude, you are a god mode hunter now.
Right? It's amazing.
You should tell everyone what you did, because I know that's a big subject right now.
Oh no, I got gear that let me do that.
No, I know, but what gear? Like, everyone's
Let's
trying to
see.
find recovery gear right now.
I have the Road Complex AA1, and if you use the bottom slot, it gives you more recovery. And then the Road Complex, so the Road Complex gauntlets and chest piece, both with the bottom slot, and then the
Where do you
Stomp
get
Bees.
those?
They're just legendary drops.
Okay.
And I'm using the Stompies just for mobility and because they have a mod on them that increases recovery. And then my Gensim Knight Cask because it has high recovery. And that gives me 6 recovery, 4 resilience, and 5 mobility.
That's beautiful. Because I think once you hit four is when it starts kicking in. So your resilience kicks in because you're a four.
Yeah,
Yeah,
well,
the
and I
four.
think at. With 4 resilience, it takes like one more extra shot from the Mida to kill you, as opposed to 3. So it's like just that little bit of recovery, or that
Oh,
little bit of survivability in the current meta.
that's huge.
Yeah, not by much, but the recovery is the big stat. Anyway, back to war and
Back to
making
Destiny.
war masters angry because we don't know what we're talking about.
Right. Is there anything else before we start kind of moving towards the end of this you guys want to talk about Curse of Osiris we know so far? I
No,
can't
I'm
think of
excited for
anything.
what it brings. I'm hoping that it bring gives us more endgame content, more
Oh, for
stuff to
sure.
do after you hit level cap. Just because, it does, you do reach a point where it's like, okay, now I've done the
Oh,
same
ooh.
strikes a million times, I've done the same stuff a million
In
times, I just
case someone
want to be
doesn't
able
know,
to
that is another thing. The level
do
cap is
something.
actually being raised to 25.
Yes, it is. That's
And then I
exciting.
believe our power level is going to 265. Is that what I read somewhere?
You mean 365?
Or 365. You're right. 365. So I think we're
I don't
going to
know
level
if it's
25.
going that high.
And then our. Well, I
I
think
feel
that's
like
what I read.
330, 335 with mods.
Okay.
I'm not
I'll have to look
positive.
it up again. Again, we don't
Yeah,
know what we're talking
but
about. Why are you here?
it's going up.
Yeah,
And
and
actually,
that's the
fun
important
fact,
part.
the raid, the Leviathan raid, is actually being scaled up to
Oh,
accommodate for that.
is it?
Yeah.
Is the gear gonna scale up with it too?
I would imagine so. The
Okay,
difficulty is going to scale
that's fantastic. I'm all for that. All right, well, let's slide in here. We actually have two questions from listeners. Are you ready for this? This is
Oh,
exciting.
really?
Ooh.
We
Yeah.
actually
Do
have
we
people
actually have
watching?
more than one listener?
We do.
I am amazed.
I'm shocked. All
Hello,
right.
listeners.
First question.
Hey,
How is
scholar.
it this
Online.
none of these questions are Destiny related. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Good to know.
They just want an
It's probably
answer.
better that way.
This goes with Harry
42.
Potter, okay?
Okay.
Question: How is it that not even Hermione Granger knew about the Sorting Hat in the first Harry Potter book? She is a thorough reader, yet everyone didn't know, not even her, knew what the sorting ritual entailed. What the heck, Hermione?
Did it
Yeah. I feel like
it
that's a
say
plot
that she
hole.
didn't know? Because
Yeah.
I don't. I
I
would
would assume that
one.
it's implied.
Because
Yeah, I mean,
she. If I
I remember
recall
that from the
correctly, yeah,
books.
that she. Like,
Because they weren't
knew
friends with her at that
something.
point. And I don't think that Harry had had a conversation with her
Well, yeah,
at
because
that point.
they talked on the
No, they
train
did.
before they got there.
Yeah.
So
Did they?
they'd already
Yeah, they
talked,
did.
so we
He
already
doesn't
got
make
her
his stuff up.
aspect. No. No, you know what? Go watch
I
it
don't know.
after we end this. You're gonna go watch it the first 30 minutes and you'll go, wow, look, they're on the train before they get to school and they're talking to each other. This is
Oh, in
amazing.
the movie. We're talking about the movie. I thought we were talking about the
No, we're talking
books.
about the book, but go watch the movie. Like, it's the same. Like, they meet on
No,
the
it's
train
not.
before they even get
Don't
to
say
school.
that.
No, that's the same. That part's the same. They meet
Whatever.
before they get to school.
Look, stop making stuff up. I'm just kidding.
But I
I and
wonder.
it could be that maybe she had heard of the Sorting Hat but didn't really have an understanding of what it did, because I mean you only hear the voice in your head, and I'm pretty sure that wizards, and it could be that in a history of Hogwarts they just assumed that everybody knew what the sorting hat was and what it, you know, how you got it sorted in the houses, right?
Well, I kind of think
that would be my
that opinion. It was just one of those, like, best kept secrets. Like, no one tells the new people, like, coming in what it is, so it's, like, somehow the best kept secret of Hogwarts, you know?
And it's just not really
because you think
well
like
documented or anything.
Yeah, like well, like Ron, he's got what was it like 5 older siblings or something crazy, right?
Right. He still didn't know,
and he
well,
had like none of them told
him.
Well, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he
could just do this. People don't talk about
I think.
It.
Oh, I have to turn to my wife real quick. Didn't like Fred and George tell him like to get sorted into a house, he had to like fight a troll or something.
Yeah, he had to like take a quiz and fight a troll.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So even like, so it's the point that people were even like making stuff up about what the ritual entailed. So I think it was just one of those like on purpose, like don't tell the new kids, so it's a surprise.
Well, I mean, like, Ron's brothers would have done that to him, but I think, and that's probably why Ron didn't know. But I'm assuming that, like, because Hermione read, like,
everything.
Hogwarts
the complete history of Hogwarts history, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think it was just, like, they just, it, you know, because from a, I'm assuming just, like, from every other perspective, you know, Hogwarts when you read a history or when you read a book or whatever, they don't talk about, like, mundane things very much. Like, And it's just because it's everybody knows, and so that's probably why she didn't know about the hat is because it just assumed that everybody already knew about the sorting hat, and so it didn't go into a whole lot of detail about what it is and how you get sorted into your houses.
That's very interesting. It is just kind of fun that no one knows, like.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of years later, you know, your first years come in, they have no idea. I like that.
Also, the answer is 42.
Question number 2. If a creature offers to grant you one wish, wishing for more wishes is out, okay? So if a creature offers to grant you one wish, but in exchange, you have to fight dangerous monsters all alone the rest of your life, what wish could you make that would make that worth it?
Oh, man.
Invincibility or immortality, inability to die.
So you instead of just a short life and then maybe dying, you'd rather spend an eternity of just nonstop death trying to fight dangerous monsters. That's how you want to spend eternity.
Why not?
How awesome would that be?
That's
seriously?
So metal. I'm proud of you.
No, because like not all of your life would be spent fighting. Because you'd be fleeing as well, and so you'd have times of respite
hiding,
and exploration. You just happen to also have to every once in a while turn around and kill a monster.
I guess that's true. It didn't say you're spending every moment just in a nonstop fight.
Yeah, it's just that you know you're not like relentlessly, but you know
occasionally
you're
like
always
you just
being
have to fight
pursued.
A all right, Russ. What wish would make that?
Oh man,
that clause worth
like,
it.
You know, I'm a fantasy guy, so like superpowers or some kind of ability to make me awesome when I'm fighting the monsters, because then that's like my dream life right there. I'd be fighting monsters, but I would basically be living out a fantasy novel, you know. So one wish, my wish would be to be like, give me some powers that will allow me to fight these guys and the ability to fight them, because that would be amazing. I don't see a downside to that.
Yeah. Love it. I think I would
have monsters for life.
Right? Monster hunter in real life, but you're behind.
Have you guys seen Troll Hunters? Because it's pretty good.
Oh, yes.
I have not, actually. I need to do that.
It's hilarious.
It's actually
it's
really good.
Like a Norwegian B movie.
That's fantastic. Norwegian B movie.
I don't know
oh my god, that's fantastic.
No, yeah. Not that.
Are you excited
movie.
For?
A...
Oh, are you talking about a different one?
Yeah, there's a it's a Netflix series.
Oh no, my daughter's watched
series.
It. You're right. Yeah. I've seen a second of it. I haven't accessed on a watch.
Like
she has been watching it.
It's actually really good and really well done. It's based on a book that Guillermo del Toro did.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. Are you guys excited for Monster Hunter coming to PS4?
I am. So I've got a buddy of mine who's been trying to get me to play Monster Hunter for years. And I've never done it just because, like, I've never had a handheld that I would want to play on. And so now that it's actually coming to PS4 and that they're making it a little bit more accessible, I think that I'll actually finally jump into it.
Yeah, I played a little,
It looks
but yeah, I played a
interesting.
little bit of it on the Wii, and I really enjoyed it, but not a lot. I didn't get super into it, but I'm excited. Anyway, my wish. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We're still on you. Forget.
My wish would be that these monsters are the most delicious chocolate chip cookies ever. So that every once in a while, randomly in life, the most delicious chocolate chip cookie would just approach me and I would just eat it and it'd be wonderful.
That is
Doesn't
not a
change
bad
anything in
workaround.
life. Just live my life once in a while. Oh no, here it comes again. Om nom nom.
Not a bad workaround.
Thank you. That's why I made you guys go first so I could think about a
And then they
workaround.
would
That's really the whole
be
point of being a host of a
monsters.
show is to make other people go first that you can think of what you want to say.
So
There you
I
go,
definitely
man.
just
You've learned the
played a
secrets.
Crucible match that was 4v2, and
And
we
one,
got
because you're amazing.
com no, we lost. We lost horribly because two of our team left, and
Aww.
it was a. It probably would have been fine if it was like survival or something, but it wasn't. It was control. So that was painful.
All right.
Yeah,
Well,
just trying
let's
to finish this call
cool
to
that as
arms.
well when it's not going well.
Go ahead and start wrapping this baby up. Is there anything else you guys wanted to jump in
Sounds good.
before we wrapped up here?
I don't know. Are there any more questions from viewers? Because those were some good
Questions from
questions.
the
Those were
audience
good. No,
for.
we just had the two.
Yeah, that's what I figure.
We'll get more as we go. The fact we had two was like mind-blowing.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Like, I was like, what? Oh, holy crap. Cool.
There
Let's
are
go.
people?
Yeah.
Stuck around to ask questions? What?
Why?
I hate it
We're not
when
interesting at all.
your
Why are you here?
right.
I hate it when your super runs out right when you're about to kill two people, and then they just team fire you.
All right, well, let's go ahead and start
Fair.
wrapping
Well.
this up. Thank you all for joining us for Just Some Guardians, episode two. More to come with. I'd like to keep going with clanmates, and as we get new people, bringing them in, because I know a lot of podcasts have their own clan community that people have come, and then they never ever like bring people from their own clan that they created onto their podcast. And I'm like, that's kind of weird. So I want to keep that going. But I definitely want you two on here more often because this was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
What can we say? We're just interesting people.
Well,
Right.
so we're gonna have to wrap it up.
Getting too
Well,
big for our britches.
thank you all for joining us. Once again, if you are interested in the kind of shenanigans that we endeavored through tonight and want to join our clan, it's Just Some Guardians, just like the podcast is called. We are more than open to making friends with anybody that's not a colossal douchebag. And carrying that through to in real life and
I mean, you can be kind
other
of a
games
douchebag,
and
just not a
kind of, just not
colossal
colossal.
douchebag.
Exactly. You know, so, enough that we can make fun of and you don't get too sad, you know. But
And we will make fun of you.
we do. I don't know what our schedule is going to be like because, again, we're casual and life happens. So whenever this happens, it happens. But when we do this podcast, we will stream it on Twitch so that if we have people that want to join and watch, you can start a conversation while we're streaming and we will talk with you there and answer questions and whatever you want to discuss and bring your own opinions, and we will actually bring them into our podcast instead of just ignoring you because we love all of you.
BYLO.
Boom. So that is twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. We are on Twitter at JSGcast, and we'll be on
We're on
Pod.
Twitter?
We're on Twitter. We'll be
Pulling
on
up, y'all. That's a
Podbean
fancy name
at
for sure.
podbean.com/justsomeguardians, and then we're going to work on getting ourselves on iTunes. Meow.
Oh, wow. We're going to be famous.
We're going to be in here. All over the place. Yeah. Sometimes when we're playing stuff as a clan, I will just stream for fun. I'm not doing this because I want to be Twitch famous, but I just do it because I want to find out if our gaming is literally a nonstop, you had to be there moment, or if it's actually entertaining. So so that's twitch.tv/ElmerFuddGames if you want.
Well, the thing is even if it is you had to be there moment, they will be there.
You're not wrong. Exactly. That's a smooth point. And also, I found it really handy, like, to stream like Crucible or like the Raid and then go back and watch it. And I go, oh my God, I need to change this and do this. And I've like found myself changing a lot of my play style by being able to rewatch it. And it's like the trippiest thing. But all right, I think that covers everything. Alrighty. Until next time, what is our clan slogan? We should end with a clan slogan or something. Oh, that's right. I forgot I did utter, that.
What is it? Utter utter idiocy or something like that?
Here utter incompetency.
Here's our outro. Oh, here we right. go. No, I actually have one on the clan. Here we go.
Ooh, you actually have an outro?
Insert fancy. Outro music here. Remember, befriend, be helpful, be .. something else.
Sounds just do the me. Boy Scout.
Yeah. Something else. Be something else. It sounds good.
I don't know. See you guys later. Good time.